Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
name of the Lord Jesus, we are going to partake of the Holy Communion, and then we're going to wait till Minister Andre get here. We're going to go back into worship, but let us do a Holy Communion now. If you all have your Holy Communion together, you have your wine and your bread together, representing the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to pray and read this scripture, and then we're going to partake of the Holy Communion. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for granting us another day to allow us to enter into this, the land of the living this day, O God. Father, we don't take this lightly, but we honor and we praise you. We bow down before you, asking you for your forgiveness, for your mercy, and your grace that is always new. Lord, we ask today that you would look upon us in the frailty of our stature. And Lord, don't give us what we deserve, but give us what we need. We ask, God, your love and kindness to rest upon this line today, that you touch each and every one of us under the sound of my voice. And Lord, that you bring peace to our soul. Let your joy overtake us today. Lord, we ask for transformation of these articles that we're about to partake of, that represent your body and your blood. And we ask you, Father God, to transform these articles from the natural fruit of the vine and weed of the field to the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and to the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it." Hallelujah. "And he said, eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. Break it and eat it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. "After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever should eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come." May we drink together the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in remembrance. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. After they had partake of Holy Communion, they sing a song. They sang a song. And they say, "Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. For there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood The miracle working power of the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you for allowing them to pierce you, allowing them to whip you for my sins, not for your sins, because you didn't have no sin. But thank you, Lord, that you love me enough to die on the cross for my sin, to come down from your throne in glory and come into time. Oh, my God, so that I would have access to time, Lord, true life, and life more abundant. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Nobody ever loved me as much as you have and as much as you do, Lord God. Okay. And I thank you today. I thank you and I praise you, oh God. Oh, Father, that I have access to the tree of life. I have access, oh God, to the fountain of life. I have access, oh God, to eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We all have access. Hallelujah, glory to God. Doesn't matter what the millionaires are trying to do in this country, and they're trying to control the population. They want to eliminate a third of the population, even as much as three-fourths of the population is what they're saying, but they can't eliminate me. They can't eliminate us. They may kill our body, but they can't kill our soul because our soul is already being purchased. It's already been purchased. It doesn't matter if they move us from here to Mars or to the bottom of the earth or to the ocean deep. They can't destroy us. Hallelujah. They can put our body anywhere they want to, but they can't do nothing with our soul because our soul is already purchased and it's waiting patiently for that new eternal body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They can't do anything to us. So we are excited. We are delighted about life everlasting, all life everlasting. We're living with great hope, great expectation that he is coming. He is coming again. He's coming back for us. He left something here on the earth that belongs to him, and he got to come back. He has to come back and retrieve it. Hallelujah. He's not going to leave what concerned him here on the earth. We belongs to him. He purchased. You ever bought a package? You ever went to the mall and bought a package and leave it, forget it, by running your mouth with family members, running your mouth with the friends, associates in the mall, and you forget the package in the mall? What happens? You jump right back. Oh, my Lord. You get home, and you get in the living room, and you sit there. You know what? I forgot the package. I forgot the package. And, oh, my Lord. And you rush back to the mall, and you ask the people, the cashier, do you see a package? And they say, yes, we have it right here behind the desk, right behind the counter. But Jesus didn't forget. He just left us here to do a work. He didn't forget the package. He leave us here to do a work, to tell our other brothers that don't know him, our other sisters that don't know him, about the love that he shared at the cross. That's what we do every day on Blog Talk Radio. We talk about that love, that compassion, that mercy, that grace. And because he leave us here, we got to tell somebody, tell anybody, that, and tell nobody, anybody but somebody who can save everybody. And we got to tell them. We got to tell them so that that when he come back, he not coming not just for us alone, but he coming back for all other brothers and sisters. Because he told us in John chapter 17 that there are others that are going to believe on him through their word, through our word, not just the apostle word, through our word. We, all of us that are teaching and preaching now, they're going to believe because we're not going to compromise the word. Hallelujah. We're going to tell the truth. We're not going to water down the word like some of these other outfits are doing, these other religions are doing. They're watering down the word. Now, there's a big argument now on YouTube. Apostle, I'll tell you something. The devil is really, really cutting it up. He is really coming up. He got church folks saying that the Bible is not the Bible. The Bible is not God's word. You know, you people on YouTube, and I said, Lord, I got to stay off of YouTube. I got to stop searching, Apostle. Because these people are ignorant, stupid. And what I see, the Lord said, he said to me, he said they will disturb your spirit if you allow them to disturb your spirit. He said, didn't I tell you, you should know the truth, and the truth should set you free. Once you know the truth, you don't let nobody else touch that truth. They can go on and act as stupid as they want to, but you know the truth. And once you know it, it'll make you free. It sets you free. Glory to God. And I was hearing them last night. I said, my Lord, Jesus, these people are crazy. And they're calling themselves, they got all of these African names they got. They're calling themselves all these African names. And they tell them that they don't know this Bible belongs to, it belongs to Satan. It's Satan's word. It belongs to the devil. Mm. And they argue with one another. I just said out of force on this morning, the Lord said, he says, they're arguing so much about who is Jews and who not Jew. They can't even live together as Africans. They can't live together as Africans or African-Americans. They're killing one another in the argument about who is Jews. Let's start to learn to love each other now. As whoever we are, let's love each other. And then we'll figure the rest out when he comes. He'll tell us who we really are. They're fighting each other. Ah, we are Jews. We're not Christians. We're not this. We're not that. We are Jews. You can't even live as the Africans that he created you to be. Right in your own nation. You're killing each other. But fighting to determine who is Jews, who not Jews. People running around, black folk now saying that they love Hitler. They love Hitler. Hitler killed the Jews. He killed the blacks. He didn't only kill the Jews. He killed blacks too. Because he didn't love anything that wasn't supposed to be pure white man. You know? Wasn't supposed to be pure. They had another name for him. I can't remember the name. But they called him the pure white man. Didn't have nothing mixing in their blood. He was killing. Killed the Asians, Koreans, Indians. He killed everybody. And this man getting on Facebook saying they love Hitler. Black people. See, the devil's smart. Devil's smart. Devil will make them come against each other. Make, not us, but them. Cause I call them them because I separate myself. You know, they make them kill one another. But we got to love. We got to love. We got to constantly release the love of Christ in the earth. Don't care if they get mad at us, if they even kill us. Hallelujah. Little boy just killed his mother, Apostle, somewhere down in the Midwest. Just killed his mother. He wanted some type of headphones from off Amazon. And she said she couldn't afford to order him the headphone. 10 years old, Apostle. He's 10 years old. He go and take the gun and fire the gun or mother gun, some gun in the house, and kill his mama. Do you hear what I'm telling you? And then she's laying there dead. He goes on the phone and order the headphones that he want from Amazon with her credit card.
Oh,
10 years old. Do you hear what I'm saying? 10 years old, Apostle. 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I told you all last month where the woman, where the boy or girl in an African American house broke everything in the house, broke the toilet, broke the kitchen sink, the bathroom sink, the mirror, broke everything in the house because she disrespect her mama. And the mama took away the cell phone. Boy, if she was in my time when I was growing up, she wouldn't have, or he wouldn't have a place to sit on. My mama would have wear his behind on her behind out. It would be so sore. She couldn't sit down. But see, now, the way the world is set up now, the governments are set up because people have become so lackadaisical, they have given their authorities over to the government. The government said, I'm going to give you some money and we're going to take care of your kids. We're going to put you on welfare or social, whatever they put you on, and we're going to pay your rent, we're going to buy your food, and we take care of your kids. They watch your kids. You can't touch your kids. We're going to raise your kids. That's why they got CPS or CPA, all this kind of stuff they got, all the different abbreviations, acronyms they got for the stuff that how the government run it. And so if you hit your child and you try to call the government send the police down there and they come and arrest you for raising your child. So the children know that the parents can't touch them. They act any way they want to. Little girl go in the room and lock the door. She on the internet. He on the internet with nasty movies. And the mom or daddy can't go and say, I got the door locked. How you unlock the door? One time, my granddaughter's daughter, she's 21 now. She's turning 22 next month. And she locked that door. She ain't had nobody in the bedroom. There was no friend here or nothing like that, no boy or girl here. But she locked it. I know you're going to lock the door. Did you put a door on this bedroom? I'm the one who put that door. I bought that door from Home Depot, and I put it on myself. I said, look, well, once the door's open, I said, look, I'm going to take the hinges off, okay? I'm going to knock the pins out. I'm going to put the door in the garage. You tell me that you're going to get a door film. You know? Man, she was so mad. She ain't never locked. She ain't never locked that door. She ain't never locked that door. How you gonna go and lock the door on me when I'm the buddy who bought the door and put the door on? And this is what the kids do. They go and lock the door on their parents, and they're on the phone, stripping naked, sending nasty pictures, half naked pictures to men and to women. This is what they do to girls and boys. They're sending, and then when they go to school and they're finding out on the internet that they're being the same boy that they were talking to or same girl they were talking to, blow up their picture on the internet. Now they're embarrassed. They want to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And then the parents say, well, I didn't know she was doing that. I didn't know he was doing that. Well, if you didn't let them lock that door, you would have access to what they're doing. You would know what they were doing. You would know what they're doing. And this is why the kids are so wicked today, because the Bible told you about it. The Bible said that the generation would be wiser and wickeder. And this is what happened. My granddaughter take that computer sometimes, some things I don't understand. I said, honey, I got a little gadget I bought on PayPal, last year. And this little gadget, I didn't know you could. My granddaughter, she got my receipt. Grandpa, why you bought that? You know, you can download the app. I didn't know that. But, you know, I can, if I'm traveling and I go into a different country and people talking in Swahili or another language, Zambian or some of the Italian language, whatever they're talking, well, I can press a button on that machine, and it translate everything they're saying in English, so I can understand. They can't say, "Well, we're gonna take this Negro down here, and we gonna eat him." But the machine would say, "Tell me, they're gonna eat you," you know. I can back out, you know. So my granddaughter, she told me, "Grandpa, you know, you could have get the download, but you didn't know." I figured that was good for me because I'm gonna be traveling and going different places to preach the gospel, so I want to know what the people are seeing and what they're not seeing, you know. But God is good. God is good. We're going to go back into worship now, Apostle, and pray a little bit more worship. Minister Onde, she didn't send me the topic till this morning, so she was apologized. She was so late, you know, but we thank the Lord that she's coming back to do what she's taught to do. Glory to God. Let's go into here. A way maker.
You are here, here and everywhere. Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We want to know you, Lord. Glory, let your weight of your glory fall, Lord Jesus. Come. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for your presence in our midst, O God, for you say, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. And there more than two or three are here today. As always, God, we come to praise you. We come to honor you. We come to bow down and give you glory. Give you praise, O God. We ask you to speak to us as you speak through your servant today, Lord. She haven't been here for a while, but Lord, in the body, but she's been here in the spirit. So, Father, we ask you to use her eyes, her ears, and her lips of clay. Allow her to see, hear, and speak your truth, O God. Let it be none of her, but all of you, Lord God. And as she minister on this subject matter, tomorrow is not promised. So we pray today, Lord God, that we all submit to you today in spirit and in truth, Lord God, that we might have that eternal life, O God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Minister Andrea Batmos, and let the Lord God use you. Come on in.
Amen. Good morning, Apostle. Good afternoon.
Amen.
And I thank God for allowing me to be here today. I've been busy. I've been having my church anniversary, and this week alone has been exhausting. Like, I'm so exhausted because I have school. I'm in my senior year, and they're giving us exams like every other week, and it's just a lot. Last night I did my first ceremony of life at the church for one of the members that his mom passed away. So we did that service last night, and then I just been here writing, and I have to write for tomorrow as well. So I'm exhausted, but I know God is my strength, and I know God doesn't give you nothing you can't handle. So I just thank God for his love and his mercy and his grace, and I thank God for allowing us to be here again to worship him. Amen. The word that the Lord gave me was, tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow is not promised. When we look at life, we may see the enjoyment of it. We may see the troubles of it. But all we see is what we've already lived and experienced, what is happening in that very moment. What we see, what we do not see, is what is to come. None of us can see what is to come. None of us know what the next minute, what the next second, what the next day ahead of us will be. We don't know where what's going to happen, what is around the corner. All we know, we have to pray. We have to hope for the best, for good things. We have to trust God that tomorrow we will still be here in the land of the living. We just have to accept and say, God, whatever your will is for me, Father God, tomorrow as I open my eyes, allow me to do it. Because tomorrow is not promised to none of us. The next minute that we're going through is not promised to us. We could be here today, and tomorrow, the next minute, close your eyes to rest and don't wake up. But God wants us to know that when we trust him, when we hold tight to him, he is our promise. He is our eternal life. The word of God says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring. Don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring. You know, when I used to hear this and when I used to say it, you know, I was like, oh, I'll see you tomorrow. But, oh, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Oh, I'll talk to you later. Everything that we do needs to be by the grace of God. Everything we say needs to be within God's grace, within his will. If it's the will of the Lord, let it be done. Because we don't know when our end time is coming. We don't know when we're going to take the last breath. We don't know what God has in store for us. We don't know if our time is up on this earth. This statement is a very powerful, packed word. God says, don't brag. In other words, be humble. In your ways, be humble as we speak. Be humble in what we're doing because we don't know what is coming next. We don't know what the next day, the next second will bring. So remain humble. Don't brag. Just remain grateful that right now I have breath. Remain grateful that the struggles that we went through is no longer our portion. Just be grateful in this moment and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Because, Lord, I don't know what is coming to us in the next second. I don't know what the next month or the next year that we're about to leap into will have for us. But we're still here. We're also grateful we didn't see COVID coming, but yet we are still here. So all we have to do is give God glory and give him praise, because everything that we do is by his grace and by his will. Many people forget that it is God that holds all power in heaven and on earth. And when I say many people, even myself, I've done it where I mosey on through the day, and I'm just so busy going, you know, and I say, oh, thank you, Lord, as I'm going along. Or sometimes, you know, I don't do it as often. But I have to remember that it is by his grace that I am able to walk. It is by his grace that we are all able to see, to walk, to speak, to drink water, to go to the bathroom, to have a house over our head, to have a car, to have food in our house. Everything that we have, God makes a way. He creates an opportunity. He allows someone to come and help us. He sends help in our direction. But he has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. It is God that knows the beginning and the end of everything. And I always say he knows the beginning and he knows the end, but he knows all about the in-between. He knows everything straight on through, just not how it starts and how it ends. He knows it, but he knows the daily walk that we have to walk. He knows the daily struggles that we go through. He knows what we have to do to go in and go out. He knows the doors that we're knocking at. He knows the windows that we're looking through. He knows everything about us. He knows more about our daily walk, our life, more than we know about it ourselves. Before we start the next movement, the next thought that we're going to think, God knows this. Nothing is promised to us. The only thing we have is Jesus Christ, and that is certainty of that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34-35, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. I just want to pause because this statement, this word is so rich in this moment. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. We as humans, we cannot help but worry. We worry about what we're going to eat. We worry about what we're going to drink. We worry about what is in the house. We worry about Christmas. We worry about Thanksgiving. We're worrying about our children. We're worrying about if we're going to have money to pay our rent. We're worrying about everything, everything. And God is saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what is to come. What I ask you to do is to live a life that is pleasing to me. What God asks us to do is to live righteous unto him, to look up to him who is the author and finisher of our faith, to look up to him and depend on him, to seek him, to knock the doors, to ask him, and he will provide all that we need. Don't worry about what we don't have. Trust God. Bring our petitions to him. Bring every request unto him. Don't worry about the troubles that hasn't come as yet. Just say, God, I know you see it. I know you hear it. I know you know it. So, dear Lord, shield me. Shield my family. Protect me. What we should be worrying about is living a life that is pleasing unto God, so that after this earthly life is done and over, that we will have eternal life in heaven with our Father. That we will not have to worry at that point about anything. That we will be alive and well with him in heaven, in his heavenly kingdom. So it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Every day has enough trouble of its own. And that is the truth. In every single day, every time we open our eyes, whether it's our trouble or the world's trouble, there is trouble. Whenever there is a problem, God is there to help us to solve it, but that trouble is still there. God says, don't worry about anything. Let your heart not be troubled. Don't stress about anything, because I got you. I am with you. I will carry you. Just seek me. Just come to me. Just pray to me. Cry out to me, and I will help you through. Tomorrow is a new day. Worry about this day, that we will make it through this day, that God will carry us forward, and he will allow us to get to rest, and in the morning he will wake us up with new mercies. He will wake us up with new grace. He will wake us up with new favors and blessings of that day. Each day carries its own troubles, but it also carries its own grace to get us through that day. God is powerful, and God is all-knowing. So he knows every single thing that we are in need of to carry us forward to the next day. He knows what we are in need of. It is us that have to call out to him and say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your grace. Lord, I need your mercy. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I just need your provision. I need your peace. I need your healing. It is us that have to cry out to him. Those are the things that we worry about. Lord, I don't know where I'm going to get the next buck to pay my rent or to pay my bill. It is God that knows all things, but it's up to us to seek and ask him. Verses 33 says of St. Matthew chapter 6, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Every single thing that we are in need of, God will provide. When we say that, everything we need, God will provide. For someone who don't know Christ, they're probably wondering, like, what do you mean? Like, how will he provide? I don't see it, because we're looking at tomorrow. We're looking at what is ahead of us. We're looking at things that we can't see, we can't touch. We're just looking at what the problem looks like, and we're trying to perceive what is going to happen in the future, what's going to happen in the next day that we go through. God is saying, trust me, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek to do well. Seek his righteousness. Seek to keep in the path that he has placed before us, to live a life that is pleasing, to not gossip, to not backbite, to be a helper, to be friends, to be loving, to be caring, to exhibit everything that Jesus Christ is, exhibit everything he has been to us, everything that he has graced us with, to extend that love and that care onto someone. God doesn't pick and choose who we do it to. We just do it to everybody as they come into our lives. We do it to everybody as God leads us, as we have the grace. And if you meet someone that is in need, you just share whatever God leads you to share with them. It might not always be a financial sharing, because everybody has different struggles and everybody has different bills. But one thing for certain that we can share that is of God is love, is care, is concern. Seek first the kingdom. If we're looking for God, if we're looking for the things of God, we will always stay on the path. We will always stay on that righteous path that leads us to his glory, that leads us to his peace, that leads us to his rest and his righteousness in doing well, doing what God is saying to do, not cursing, not drinking, not smoking, not living a life that is backbiting, not doing sexual immoralities, not doing any of these things that is already in the Bible for us. Not doing what God says not to do. No quarrel, no gossip. Life, the next day, is not promised. So in this moment that we have, let us live a life that is righteous. Let us live a life that is pleasing unto God. Let us keep negativity out of our hearts and wondering and saying, oh, I wonder what this one is doing, wonder what that one is doing, they must be doing this. Don't think the worst of people. Just say, God, wherever they are, whatever they're going through, Lord, I know you're with them. Don't be the judge of others. Let God do the judging. Don't point fingers. My mom says, when you point one, there's four coming back at you, or at least three. One is going up, one is going straight, three is coming back. tomorrow is not promised. All that we need, God says, He will provide. He will give us what we need to survive. He will give us what we need to live. He will give us what we need to keep on the path. He will give us that strength to continue moving forward, to continue glorifying His name, to continue encouraging others to come onto Him, encouraging and speaking positivity into others' life, speaking the word of God that will bring life. He gave us salvation. He died for our sins. What is before us, we don't know, but God knows, and we just have to hold on to Him. Trust Him that He will bring us into that eternal life. That eternal life that is good. That eternal life that there was no pain, no suffering. God is the only one that can carry us. We trust Him because He knows it all. He laid the foundation of this world, this earth. He laid it down. He is the creator of everything. He is the creator of our lives. He is the creator of the trees and the birds and the seas and the waters and the different seasons and storms. He is the creator of the sand that we see on the beach. He is the creator of the fishes in the sea. He is the creator of everything that our eyes can physically see in this moment. As it's raining and cloudy here in Boston, it is God that allows this blessing to pour out on us. Everything that happens is needed in its purpose and its timing. All we have to do is trust God. Don't worry about what is coming next. Don't worry about and fret about, Lord, I don't have. God knows what we have and what we don't have. God knows what we give and what we don't give. God knows what we say and what we don't say. He knows what we carry in our heart that is good, and He knows what we carry in our heart that is not good. Let's take a look at James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, and I'm going to come from the NLT. It says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year, we will do business there and make a profit. I'm sorry, I wrote this out and I couldn't read my own handwriting. Again, it says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there for a year, we will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. You know, as I did the celebration of life yesterday for our brother's mother, she lived up until she was 95. You know, it made me stop and think as I'm going through and I'm writing this sermon today and writing out the words and going through the scriptures that God gave. And I said, you know, we always have plans. It's good to bring plans because the Bible says, you know, man bring plans, but God established them. We don't know what tomorrow will hold. We don't know tomorrow is not promised to anyone. We don't know what our next breath will be or when it's going to be cut short. But we bring our plans as we are seeking God. We bring our hopes and dreams to God. We talk to Him and we have prayers. And, you know, I'm talking because in this testimony of her son, he said, and my mom prayed often, and she always trusted and always said, if it's by God's grace, it's going to happen. And in her bio, you know, obituary that they wrote up, she did a lot, and she was fulfilled in her 95 years, and she lived a joyous life. But then I think again about that young lady, that her life was cut short at the age of 25, and many other people whose life are cut short. You know, we don't know when our time is going to end, but what we need to do is to live our life for God. Live our life. Give our life unto God. Say, Lord, we want you as our Lord and Savior, and trust in him. It says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. That is the plans that we have, but if it's not within God's will, it will not come to fulfillment. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? How do you know what the next moment will be? How do you know what your life will be like in 5 years, 10 years from now? How do we know? We don't know, but we trust in God. We trust that our plan that we have, we're going to bring it to God. That means we're going to go and seek him and say, Lord, this is what I'm looking to do. This is where I want my marriage to be. This is where I want my children to be. This is what I want to accomplish in a certain time. By 5 years now, dear Lord, I want to have this. This is the child I want to have today. Lord, I know you're going to give it to me. These are the things that we bring unto God. I'm going to live a long life. I'm going to live until I'm 100 years old. But only God knows when our end time has come. It says, your life is like the morning fog. And we know that. We know what a fog looks like. There are sometimes the fog is so dense you can't see past your nose. You can't even see the front of the car. But you go into that building, get to your destination, cutting through that thick fog. It's rich and thick. And when you turn around and look again, that fog just disappears. It's gone. That we have today, the things that we have accomplished in our years, every single one of us on this line have different age brackets. And God has given us so much. We have passed through so many things. But at the same time, all we hope is for another day, to be in the land of the living, to give God glory and to praise him. But there will be a day that we won't be here. And all we pray is that we are living that life that is pleasing unto God, that life that we already have him and know him as the Lord and Savior, that that life will lead to our eternal life with him. That life that we're looking for is certain. It's going to happen. It's already there. It's already happened. But we need to work and maintain and continue living in that path so that we will be called and be in that number. We will be one of those saints in the kingdom of heaven with our Father. So the stress that's coming for tomorrow, don't put it on your shoulders. Take every burden, every stress, the Lord says, and cast it upon him. Jesus did the work for us. He died on the cross for us so that we could know that that eternal life is certain, that that eternal life is promised to those who accept him. Our tomorrow is not promised, but our future in Christ is promised to those who believe and accept him as the Lord and Savior of their life. And those who choose are baptized in his name. Then we have to do this to give up that side of us, give up that fleshly side of us. Acknowledge that we have done wrong. Ask God for forgiveness. Believe that he died on the cross for us, that he was rose and he lives again. He is our promise for tomorrow. Send him as our Lord and Savior. When we've backslid, when we've run off to the left or run off to the right, we always have to keep on that path. We always have to keep. As life goes and comes, we have to say, Lord, you are my promise for tomorrow. The promise for us as humans is not for tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us that are human in this earth, in this life as we're going through. It is not promised to us because we don't know what is to come. But we do know that Jesus Christ is our promise. He is our Redeemer. He is the one that did the work for us. His love, what he has, it is so. Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17, 18, and then I'm going to go back to 16 from the NLT. It says, "For our present trouble are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." Let me read that again. "For our present troubles are small and won't last long." The things that we go through, the things that we have been through, they are small. And we will come through. God says he will bring us through. When we trust in God, it's never we get stuck in that position. We pray and he finds a way to bring us out. He sends help to pull us out. He says, "Yet they will produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." When we take our troubles and our problems and we cast it onto the Lord and we trust that he is the one that's going to bring us out, that glory, that praise, that honor, that life that we're choosing to stay on will be a life that is forever in the eyes of God. We're doing all we're doing. We're staying focused on him because we want that eternal life. It says here, so we don't look for troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze, fix our eyes on things that cannot be seen. Fix our eyes on the joy of the Lord. Fix our eyes on the love of the Lord. Fix our eyes knowing that whatever we pass through, whatever we're going through, it's to the glory of the Lord, and he will strengthen us and bring us out. We will pass through waters. We will pass through fires. That's what the word says in the book of Isaiah. We will not drown, and the fire will not consume us. We can see, rather, fix your gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. The kingdom of God that we cannot see, his glory that we cannot see, these are the things that will last forever. The life everlasting beyond this life, it will last forever. When we choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and choose to be his servant, it's a choice. God is saying those things are promised to us. But we can only achieve it. We can only receive it if we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If we accept him, if we willfully do what God is calling us to do. God calls each and every one of us, and he asks us to stay strong, to stay committed. When we are passing through and we're going through our daily lives in the past and even now in the present, temptation will come, and God will speak to us. Our Holy Spirit speaks and cry out, stay focused. Don't go there. Whatever God says to do, be obedient. Allow our flesh to be under control by our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that is inside of us. Allow the Spirit of God to rise up and take full control so that when these temptations, when these things come in our path, we don't fall short. We don't fall short. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Verse 16 says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. I put that statement there, and I chose to read it after I read these two, because it's powerful. says this is why all that we're fixing our gaze on, why we're not supposed to look at what is at hand, what we can see, why we have to look at what is beyond us. Trust God for what we can't see. Know about who he is. We can only fix our gaze and know about the promises of tomorrow and feel encouraged by it when we know who God is in our life. We could have that hope and that assurance knowing that it's better for us. There is something good and better out there for us, even though we may not perceive it. In our spirits, the Spirit of God that lives in us tells us. He brings it and let us know that it is real, even though we cannot see it at this moment. We cannot touch it, but we can be joyful about it. That is why we never give up. We never give up on God. Look at the book of Job right there. All that Job passed through, he didn't know what was to come. All Job knew was what he was experiencing in that moment. All Job knew is what he lost, what he had before, what was taken from him, his children, his life, his body started failing him. Though your bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. You know, and I never understood the concept. You know, when I look at Job, I'm like, okay, God, Job lost everything. He lost his children. He lost, you know, his cattle. He lost his wealth. He lost everything. But I always stop in my own thinking and in my own talking to God. Lord, how come the devil chose not to take his wife? If you're going to take everything from a person, you're going to strip them to nothing. You're going to, you could take the children and take their life, but the wife, no. And as I read and I continue analyzing the book of Job, the devil used her as a tempter to curse God. Her life was spared for a reason, but one of the reasons is the temptation that she kept saying, just curse God and die, just curse God and die. But Job never did, right? And look what God did. His wife was still there. God gave her back because she lost everything too. Job lost, but he was a faithful servant. She was ready to curse God. She didn't want anything to do with it. But he was the faithful servant. He was the one who stood and said, Lord, I don't understand. He inquired of God, and God spoke to him. He stood and say, it doesn't matter what I pass through, even though my body is dying, even though my life is in an uproar, it's turned upside down. Even though I don't know what my tomorrow will bring, I might die tomorrow, I might die the next second, even though debt is hanging on to me, Lord Jesus, I will still serve you. I will still praise you, Lord. I will still give you glory, Lord. I will still honor your name, Lord. I will still rejoice over you, Lord. This is what Job did, and this is what God is asking us to do. Even though our bodies ache, even though our bodies are failing, even though we know we're going down, because guess what? As we get older, our bodies deteriorate. It breaks down. That's life. We're born fresh and new into this world. But each day, each minute, each year, every second goes by, our life just clocks down. And as humans, we don't start realizing the clocking down of our lives until we get into that old age and we start really feeling aches and pains. That's when we're like, oh, my God, Lord, that could be at any moment. But the reality is that can come at any minute, any second, at any age. But all we have to do is hold on and keep serving the Lord. Keep our eyes fixated on what we know his word has told us is about to come, what we feel in our spirit that is the better that is coming, that eternal life that we have all longing for. Keep our eyes and our gazes fixated on that, because the word says our spirits are being renewed every day. As we get older and we become wiser, the Holy Spirit reveals more to us inside. He shows us more. He speaks to us more. We have strong conversation. We depend on him and say, Lord, allow your spirit to lead me. Allow your spirit to show me. There are times God is going to allow us to get a glimpse in our dream. And just by that dream, it brings so much hope for what is to come. that joy and that peace and that love. No pain, no suffering, no worry. Just that freedom to worship the Lord at all times. I love to worship God. I love to adore Him and let Him know how much I appreciate Him. There's times I'm sleeping and I can hear myself talking to God, just saying, God, I love you. God, I love you. Lord, I love you. Thank you. All we have to do is trust in God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to read from the Bible. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, and it speaks about the rich fool, you know? Let me get to it. Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to read from the NLT as well, verses 13 to 21. It says, then someone called from the crowd, teacher, this is a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ used to teach us, to help us to know what to do and what not to do. Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus replied, friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. That word greed is not just consuming food. Greed is everything. Greed is the way you want to covet and take over someone's possession. The way you're looking at what other people have and wondering, how come I don't have that? The way you're looking at other people's anointing and saying, how come God didn't give me that? The way you're looking at things that, you know, oh, no one speaks to me like that. No one gives me light like that. No one gives me time like that. Those are all things that are greed, envy, jealousy. It's a part of it. Be guard against every kind of greed. Be content in what God has given you to do. Be content in where God has placed us to be. Be content and say, Lord, if this is where I need to be today, dear Lord, I am thanking you. If it's not where you want to be, say, Lord, I know I deserve to be in a better place, and I'm asking you in your time, dear Lord, elevate me. Bring me to a place. Allow me to have more, dear Lord, so I can survive. And God will open those doors. Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. That means he has the best of best. You know, when I think of fertile farm, I think of Italy and all the vineyards and, you know, a farmer that has a ground that is just so rich, the soil is so rich that no matter what you put there, something will grow from it. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barn and build a bigger barn. That's greed. When you have an abundance like that, you can take what you have that you know is already yours and give the rest out. Help those that are in need. You know, I think of all these actors, actresses, musician, and you know, we always see that they have a lot, but what we don't see, and that's why I have learned not to judge, because we don't know what they are doing in the background. Only God knows. We may see them living and flying here and this and flying there and that, but guess what? These same people also help a lot of orphanages. These same people also help and bless, buy food and send it to third world countries, help children, help different programs, help open schools, help do all these things. Me, all I could do is pray and say, God, allow me to have one day to be able to do. In the little that I have, when I have to give, I give. Not just giving in my finances, but I give in my time more often, all the time. I'm always doing something. He said to himself, what should, I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know, I will tear down my barn that is already sufficient for him and build a bigger one. Then I have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. So it's just not wheat. He had a bountiful harvest to store all of it, to keep it all for himself. That's the key word, to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. God is not saying that we cannot put away something for a rainy day. We should. Even the ants for rainy and hard season. So we too as humans have to store. Many of us don't have a savings. I know myself, I hardly have one. It's, sometimes it's in the red, sometimes it's not in the red because I have bills and it's me by myself. I have a child. It's me on my own physically at this time. But God is always there to be my help, to help me through. And he has sent helpers after helpers after helpers. Every month, I see how God sends help my way. Verse 20 says, but God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. This man was concerned about storing for a rainy day that he could sit back and not have to worry, take everything he had, not help anyone, but he didn't have a relationship with God. As we are going through life, that is the richest of riches that we need to have, is that relationship with God. To accept him, to be baptized, to know that we are his children, that we have given up ourselves to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we are making a vow today to live a life that is pleasing unto God, to live a life that is according to his will. You know, I used to always think about this, like, Lord, there's so many good people out there, but we could be good. And if we have not given up ourselves to Christ, then we are missing the mark. We're not saved. We could help people all the time, but if we have not said, Lord, I am confessing my sins, and we have not said, Lord, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior, and we did not baptize to say, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord and Savior, and I choose to follow you. That is the way that God says that we will have eternal life. Our relationship gives us that certainty, that promise that Jesus Christ has given to us. Having and choosing him as our Lord and Savior brings us closer to that eternal promise that could be any moment. It could be tomorrow. It could be the next day after tomorrow. It could be a month from today, a year from today, 2, 3, 4, 10 years from today. But that is certain. God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a relationship, a rich, is the key word it said, a rich relationship with God. Having a relationship means always being in communication with our Father. We are laughing with him. We're talking with him. We're crying to him. Every emotion, God has seen it, and we bring it to him. That's having a deep and intimate, a loving relationship. Knowing that he's not just our Lord and Savior, but he is our Father and dependent on him as a Father. God wants us. His heart is always open. He's always waiting. He wants us to have this relationship. He wants us to pray to him. You know, this week, I work all this week, and I also went to my kickboxing to make sure I keep up with my health. You know, I was away from it for like 2 months because I was just extremely busy with school and everything. But I said, Lord, let me go and keep my body moving and keep my body healthy and to continue to get this weight down. Because you stop going, the weight comes back on. So, Lord, help me. And when I went on, what day was it, Wednesday, there's this young man. I haven't seen him for a minute because I wasn't there and, you know, I haven't been going. And he started out of the blue. He said, you know, you're a minister, right? I was like, yeah, I am. I said, he's like, is that what you do for your work? I said, no. I said, I have my regular job that I have to work. I said, but I do ministry work. It's a lifetime ministry. It's something we do all the time. It's not just something I do on Sunday. It's my life. Yes. That's who I am. I go and I speak the word of God, but it's not my job. It's not my profession. So he started talking to me about things that he's going through and how he's battling depression, and he's been talking to God, and he's like, you know, I curse at God. I said, well, you should try not to curse at God. I said, but God knows everything you're going to do. I said, God knows where you're at right now. I said, and he's going to work with you. I said, this very moment that we're talking about salvation and talking about trusting God and talking about putting your burdens and giving every problem and hurt that you have had over to God, I said, God knew this moment was here. I said, he brought you here tonight. He brought me back this week because the answers and the questions that you needed, he allowed me to share with you. I said, trust God. I said, come to my church. He said, I will come because it's you. I said, no, come because it's God. I said, he said, I don't get up early. 10 o'clock is very early. I said, when you want to do something in life, nothing will stop you from doing it. I said, we will pray that God opens you up and allow you to wake on time to come to church. Whether it's on Zoom, whether it's not on Zoom, I said, I will keep your phone. You have my phone, and I will send you each invitation. And when you are awake, God will quicken your spirit to be awake so you could hear what he wants you to hear. But we never know when God is going to use us to bless somebody. We never know when that might be the only blessing that that person might ever have or the blessing that they need at that moment to know who God is so that they could start working on his relationship, so that God could now start unraveling them and unveiling them and bringing them into his flock. He knows each and every one of us. He knows who his children is, and at the appointed time, he will come and he will press that we have no choice but to say yes, Lord. I surrender. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. I believe and trust in you. I know that you died for me, and I know that you rose. He will give us the appointed time to accept him as our Lord and Savior. Let's look at God's love for us and why we should keep trusting in God to lead us forward. Keep trusting in God for everything. Keep that rich relationship so we are not that fool that keep working hard and feel like, oh, I need to make money. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to have this, the car. I need to have the house. I need to have the friendship. I need to be the light of my surrounding. Looking for all the manly praise and the manly things and missing everything that is heavenly. God, we need God to lead us forward. Also, we don't allow the burdens of life and the struggles of today to weigh us down, but rather prepare our hearts and minds to live our life fully in accordance to the will of God, to live accordance to the will of God. Living in the will of God means surrendering and giving up ourselves so that we can take on his attributes, so that we can say yes, Lord, to what God calls us to do, that we can say yes, Lord, to answering when someone says we need this. Like when my Reverend came to me last week and was like, I need you to do the ceremony of life. I'm away and I need you to do this and I need you to do that. In my heart of hearts, I'm like, Lord, this is heavy. I have so much. I have to study. I have to take 2 exams in one day. Like, it's a lot. But I said, God, if you're bringing this to me at this appointed time, I don't know the reason why, but I thank you. So I accept, and I said, yes. I said, I've never done this before, but if you show me, if you guide me, I know I can learn. Having that willfulness, that obedience, to be willing in our hearts to say, yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, help me. When we know we're following God's will, that means there's no struggle in your spirit. I always weigh my answers on that. If in my heart I'm saying yes or I'm saying no and I feel conflicted, that means I'm not following what God is saying. God wants me to say yes. But in my spirit, if I say no to something, oh, no, I'm not going to be there, or yes, I can do something, and I feel light and free, I said, okay, God, thank you for leading me to this. There's no struggle when it comes to God. There's no confusion when it comes to God. And it's the same mental thought process. When we're doing what is right, when we're doing for God, there should be no struggle or confusion. We will always be free. Feel that freeness and that light burden upon us as we accept. In Romans chapter 8, as we're looking at God's love for us, Romans chapter 8, verses 29 to 30, and then verses 38. I'm reading from the NLT. It says, For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son will be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. Amen? He gave us the righteousness, the right standing to make us right in his sight. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Thank you, Lord. Verse 38 says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. Verse 38 is so powerful. As Christian, we should be jumping and saying hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. Because when we have selected him to be our Father, to be our Lord and Savior, to have that rich relationship with him, God is saying, in Romans, the apostle is saying through the word of God that nothing can separate us. Nothing can break that love. Even when I've heard it so many times, when people backslide and they walk away from God, God still went and called them back. You are mine. I know who you are, Andera. You are mine. We all belong to him. So he calls us. He quickened our spirit. He touched us in that place that only he can touch us. And bring us back to a submissive relationship, saying, you belong to me. Don't forget it. Your worries, your problems, things that you pass through, they're no struggle when it comes to God. He will carry us forward. It says, neither death nor life can separate us. When we die in this world, even death at that moment cannot separate us from the love of God, cannot tear us away from the life that is about to come. Neither angels nor demons. You know, when I saw neither angels nor demons, that means Satan cannot stop us and separate us who choose to be the children of God, who choose him as their father. He can't even come and separate us. Because why? When he comes with his trickery, when he comes with his foolishness, when he comes with his poking and poking at us, we will stand strong and we will stand firm. We will continue to be in that right standing that God has placed us in, and we will be able to denounce him and say, get away from me. Go away. And God will shift him to another place. Neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow. No matter what we're going through, let your faith be bigger than your fear. The faith and the hope that we know will not be cut in short, that God gives unto us, that allows us to stand strong and keep our eyes on the things that we cannot see. Keep our eyes on what we hope for. Keep our faith strong. Keep our spirit above and covering us, that Holy Spirit, that our flesh will not allow that fear to rise up. Our flesh will not allow us to start thinking the worst of worst. What do we carry in our heart that we know the next minute, the next second, is not guaranteed? When we know in our hearts that death is lurking at the door always because the enemy never stops, it could come at any moment. The reality of what we're living, that our time, we can't see the end of our days, it makes us want to stay even stronger and build that strong relationship with God and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to stay on your path. Because when that moment comes, whether we are alive to witness Jesus Christ coming or we are in the grave, we want that when it's our time, he calls our name and he brings us home to him. He brings us home with him. He brings us home unto glory. We get that glorified body and we go up to heaven. We go to heaven, the kingdom of God, where we will rejoice and shout hallelujah. When God fills us in this body on this earth and we start praising and clapping our hands and singing and shouting and praying in tongues and honoring God, when we are done, we feel so light, like nothing, no worries. Imagine will be us forevermore. That will be our life unto eternity. That in every moment, every second, we don't have to worry about anything. Just being happy and being joyful. That everyone that will be up there will be like-minded. We will be connected as one body, connected unto God. In this day in life, we see the struggles. We could be joyful, but the person next to us is just hateful. Why are you always saying happy? Why are you always optimistic? I remember a group of lawyers, as I was the receptionist before I became an underwriter, they came, why are you always so optimistic? And I was like, what? Why am I always happy? I said, why are you not? And they stepped back and looked at me. Why are you not? You should try to do it. I'm optimistic. I'm joyful. I'm happy because I have the love of God. I have the grace of God in my life. I have the peace of God in my heart. We all have to remember what we carry and what God has placed inside of us and who's carrying us. So that when we see those negativity, we can shut our ears and turn away. Even if you get pulled into it quick, because it's easy to fall into gossip. It's easy to fall into stuff. But when you keep your eyes open that you see you're getting pulled there, you have to remove yourself and pull yourself out. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Amen? God sent his son, our Lord Jesus, to die for our sins, that our today will be blessed, but our tomorrow will be eternal. If we were to confess our sins, this is what God says. Believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again from the dead. If we baptize in his name, the name of Jesus, and accept him as our Lord and Savior, we are putting a stamp in to God saying, here is my life. I give it to you. I am yours. We are making an exchange. We're giving up our old self. We're giving up this world and saying, Lord, we want to be your child. We want to be in your kingdom. We want to live our life according to your will. Every single thing that we do is according to him. When we choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he will bring friends. Like-minded friends, wherever we walk out, we will be a light. People will see his glory on us. People will see Jesus Christ in us, and they will walk towards us like, you're always so pleasant. You're always so nice. God gave his son so that he can create that everlasting relationship, give us that salvation, and give us that eternal life. That is the promise of our tomorrow. Every day we are awake, it's a new day. But that means we have a new tomorrow that is ahead of us. Jesus Christ, his life, his kingdom, his eternity is always before us. It is always our promise for tomorrow. And that is what we are living our life to. That is what we want to achieve. Not the worries that is about to come. Not the worries that is there. The joy and the peace that only God can give. John 14, in closing, John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, NLT, and this is my closing. It says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Jesus Christ promised that he will come back for us. He promised plenty of room. That means we all have a place in the kingdom of God. It's so much that no matter how many of us accept him as Lord and Savior, we have our own room in the kingdom of God. He also says and encourages us, do not let your hearts be troubled. We will have trials and tribulation. We will go through stuff. Don't fix your eyes on what is to come in a natural sense, but fix our hearts, fix our spirit on the everlasting that is about to come. That is our tomorrow's promise, that he has went before us to prepare a place for us, and that he will come back for us and bring us so we can be with him until eternity, that he will continue to help us to get to that place. God will continue to show us in our spirit, show us how to stay and keep our minds on him, how to keep our faith growing. Every day he gives us mercy, he gives us grace. Every day our faith should be increasing, our trust and dependency, knowing that no matter what I face, no matter who likes me and who don't like me, no matter who's saying this and who's saying that, who's gossiping, shoo-shoo-shoo in the corner, shoo-shoo-shoo in the corner, it doesn't matter. When you hear those chatters, you keep walking. You keep praising, thanking, because he said, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Let your hearts not be troubled. Don't take on the burdens of every day and let it weigh you down. Give that burden unto the Lord so that we can be free. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. We thank you for this word. We thank you because you are a loving and faithful Father. Because, Lord, you love us so much that you chose to allow your Son to die for us so that we could come back in the right standing with you, so that we can be free to serve you, worship you, and honor you, that we will have that life everlasting with you. Father God, we thank you because you carry us from day in to day out. Father God, we trust deeply in you because we know you know our beginning and our end. We know that you sit high and you see low. We know that every problem that we go through, every struggle that we may not even perceive as yet, dear Lord, that you are right there fighting the battle, fighting and carrying us forth. Because we know, Father God, that you are covering us. Because we know, Father God, you hear our prayers for our family. You hear our prayers for our loved ones. You hear our prayers for our friends. You hear our prayers for ourselves. That you are dear, Father God, as a loving Father, always willing to help us, always willing to bring us forward, always willing to heal us. No matter what struggles we go through, dear Lord, we trust you as your servant Job trusted in you. We thank you, Father God, that our yesterday did not destroy us, that we are still standing here today as we look forward, Father God, to what is to come tomorrow. We ask you, dear Lord, to heighten our spirit, to always hear you, to always be obedient to you, to always follow you, Father God, and to always love you. Merciful Father, we give you praise today, and we thank you because everything that we have prayed for, everything in our hearts that we may not even vocalize, dear Lord, we know that you know, and we know that you have the answer. So, Father God, continue to show us your way and continue to bring us into your best for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Butmus, for that powerful anointed word. We bless the Lord. Father, we ask you to continue to bless her, continue to multiply her hearing and her seeing. That she might see clear and hear clear and speak, O God, with authority. O God, we ask, God, that you continue to order her steps. Lord, allow your word to be a lamp unto her feet and a light unto her path, O God. We ask, Father, that you would open doors for her that no one can close and close doors that no one can open. We are grateful for the work that you are doing in her and through her, Lord. We ask, Father God, that even as we go into this new year, Lord, that you would open the door and release every blockage, oh God, remove every hindrance, oh God, that is holding her husband back from being able to enter into this nation, oh God. We pray, Father God, for clearance right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, we know that you are faithful and just, oh God. So we trust you and depend upon you, rely on you, Lord God, because all that we need is in you, Lord God. You have prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and you have anointed our head with oil. You cause our cups to overflow, God. We thank you, Lord God, for the abundant life that you have prepared for us at Calvary, Lord. And we give you glory, we give you praise and honor in Jesus' holy name, we pray. I thank you so much. I'm letting Bishop come in. A lot of people on the line. Bishop, come on in and do what you do. And then we'll open the line. Come on in.
Praise the Lord. Greetings, Heavenly
Father.
Yes,
praise the Lord.
We thank you for allowing us to come on this line today. Thank you for the minister, Andera's beautiful, wonderful bringing of your word, your message to her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We bless the woman of God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Now, If anyone has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, here's your opportunity to do so. Don't say, well, I'll wait and I'll pay you tomorrow. No. You don't do that. You accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. I urge you strongly, because no one knows. And God Almighty will say, well, it's your day. He'll call you. Come unto me right now. We don't know when God's going to call us home, so don't take a chance. Don't play with your eternal life. You know, you can do all kinds of things in this natural life, and if it fails, well, it just fails. Once you cross over, you can't ask forgiveness for sins. Don't take a chance. I urge you strongly. And for brothers and sisters who have become prodigal sons, come back home. You know that God is waiting on you. You know Jesus is standing at the door. But for those who have never received him before, I urge you to please, please accept him as your Savior today. Now, and if you go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, hallelujah. If you read the scripture and it says, well, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you have to speak it. You have to speak the word out. Don't say, well, I'm receiving you, Jesus, and think about it. No, you have to speak it out. It has to go into the atmosphere. The enemy cannot read your mind. He can only inject evil things and evil thoughts into your mind, maneuverable thoughts. No, he can't read your mind. So speak it out and let him know that you're not serving him. You're going to serve Jesus Christ, that you are serving Jesus Christ. And remember, when you make this confession, and the confession is that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you have died for my sins and iniquities. And I love you. I believe you. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your only begotten Son to be the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. And no one else could do it except Jesus. Hallelujah. For it is written in the scriptures. Hallelujah. He's the only way. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Read it for yourselves. Don't take Bishop's word. Take the Bible out. The true word of God. Take the Bible out. If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. Read it and read it. Book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Read it for yourself, where it says, there is no other name among men, no other name under heaven that is given that we shall be saved by. Only Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only begotten Son of God, no other name. So think about this and remember accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you do so, if you do that on this day, you are now saved. Plain and simple. It's written in the book. Plain and simple. You are saved. Now, you must repent. And repentance is not returning to the previous way you were living, previous things that you were doing that was out of God's will. And everything that you were doing, basically, it was out of God's will, because if you hadn't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you were doing it out of his will. You're just doing it, going on your own. That doesn't count. Well, what counts is that Jesus accepts you as his child, which you with all his children, and he has saved us through his death and resurrection on Calvary. And if you believe that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's in the word. Now, the next step is to be baptized. And here's why I went to chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, so you can understand. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 41, and the first thing Peter said was, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You don't hear any other name. the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth for the remission of sins. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Hallelujah. And you and your family, it will be worth it. You and your family and for all who are far off. The word says, separate yourself from this perverse generation, and you must do it. Same thing I said in the salvation prayer. Separate yourself. Don't go back to what you were doing. Separate yourself. Now, be baptized. You're at a church. You're a member of a church. You want to stay at your church, but they don't baptize. It's you in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 41. If they don't baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ask them to. Ask them to baptize you that way. And if they won't do it, but you want to remain in your church, I'm not telling you to leave your church home. I'm just saying, find a pastor who will baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it states in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Now, I want to congratulate everyone who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior today, and all my brothers and sisters who are prodigal sons and daughters who have rededicated their life to Christ. Welcome back home, brothers and sisters, and welcome, new believers. Welcome you and your family. Now, new believer, now you have a position now. You're an ambassador for Christ. Invite as many people as you can to your baptism, enemies, co-workers, family members, neighbors, even strangers. Invite them to your baptism. By doing so, if someone decides to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, for you enticing that person to receive Jesus as your Savior, as their Savior, you will be rewarded. God has a reward in heaven for you for bringing that soul to him. God bless each and every one of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And thank you, Minister Andara Batmas. I'm getting it together, my daughter.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Back to you, Apostle Calvin.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for the prayer of salvation. And thank you so much, Minister Butmos, for reminding us that tomorrow is not promised to us. And you allow us, you show us in the Word that we can make great plans for tomorrow, but surprising, we may not see it. It's not promised. And it was clearly laid it out on the table that a fool could see and understand. So I thank you so much. There's a lot of people on the line. I am going to open a line for anyone that want to come on and encourage you. The word was well spoken, well expounded on, and I received it. You know, and one of the things that you said very clearly is that we have to put our trust in the Lord, and we have to seek him first. You know, we have to seek him in everything that we are doing, make our plans be appointed to him, that we know exactly, even if we have to cross over, we'll be crossing over in him. That's what I heard in the word. But there's a lot more. I am really working on something here on the internet to purchase something, and I want to open a line and let somebody, but I heard the word, I heard it all, to come on in and encourage her. Okay, I'm going to go on mute for now. The line is open. The line is open.
The line is open. Amen, if anyone would like to.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your servant that delivered the word. Hallelujah. What a blessing when we even have the privilege to come and deliver a word. The word of the Lord, the precious word of the Lord. And we thank you, Minister Andara, for taking time out of your busy schedule, that you are still super busy, that you are still willing to sacrifice that time for the Lord. And so we are in agreement with Minister Andera. We are in agreement with Apostle Calendar's prayer that he prayed for you after the service. Glory be to God. We agree in the name of Jesus Christ. And that all is well, even when things don't seem to be going so well, or things doesn't seem to be, or life doesn't seem to be going our way, it is still well. And I say it all through the day. I say it every day in my life, that it is well in God. So thank you so much. It is well. And I heard some things, but I won't keep you too long because I know that you're busy. So I know you got things to get. You got to get corn and get things done. Just a few things that that I heard while you were preaching. Essentially, what you were saying is we never know all, but he knows all. And we just preached on the sovereignty of the Lord. And it's so connected to the sermons that Apostle preached and the one that we preached this week. Hallelujah, that God is in control and he knows all. And when we know that, we can rest. You quoted one of my favorite scriptures.
Amen.
It absolutely is. Let not your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. You can't let your heart be troubled. And when we give those cares to the Lord, as we give our cares and humble ourselves under the mighty right hand of God, casting all of our cares upon him, he'll lift us up in due time because he cares for us, because he loves us. And that's another favorite of mine. It's one of the first scriptures that I memorized when I began to study the Bible, when I became born again. Actually, before I became born again, I started to study the Bible. Had been saved since the age of 7. I accepted Jesus as my Savior at the age of 7. However, I didn't become born again until I was in my 30s, something like that. Anyway, it's almost 30 years. It's close to 30 years because I became born again after I met Bishop. But anyway, what I was hearing is that we've got to be fixed on the word, have our minds fixed on it, have our minds stayed on it. And you made it very clear, keep your mind stayed on God. In essence, that's what you were saying all through the scripture. Keep your mind stayed on God. And you talked about the peace and you talked about the trust. And that only comes when we keep our mind stayed on God. And when we know that God is the one that will have the final say, we don't have any say about our future. We can plan things for our future, but we don't know how it's all going to turn out. Only God knows, because we plan in God's purpose. Amen. God has a purpose. But we're planning, but God has a purpose already. And if it's in line with his will, I believe it to be so. Amen. And so I wrote, keep your eyes fixed on, mind fixed on, hands fixed on. As we keep our hands fixed on doing the work, walking by faith, not just walking by faith and not by sight. The Bible says that the just must live by faith. So I was hearing that. So we keep our hands fixed on doing the work. Amen. And then we will be established by God. And we have to keep our feet fixed on, planted in, grounded in the word of God as we walk on the path of righteousness. God will keep us walking on the path of righteousness, and he'll light up the way as he gives us his guidance. He lights up the way for us, for he is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I heard that too. And so also keep our minds totally fixed. When we keep our minds totally fixed on the word, then our lives will be totally aligned with the word of God. Amen. And when that happens, we have that freedom. We have that freedom that Jesus gave us. Because when he gave us that freedom when he died on the cross for our sins. And so whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So he paid that debt to set us free from the consequences of the sin He paid the debt for our sins. Amen. And then we were, when he did that, we were deemed not guilty. We're deemed not guilty now because God has already paid the price, paid the debt for all of our sin. Amen. So we are free, and we remain free when we remain fixed on the Word of God, feet planted, rooted, grounded, and grounded in the Word of God. So you quoted two of my favorite scriptures. In my favorites. I have so many favorites. So we never know, but He knows. And you mentioned about death. We don't know the time of our death, the day of our death. We don't know, but God knows. And one thing that I love about God is God has given us, and you mentioned it in the Word, He has given us things about our future, promises about our future that we can count on. We can take it to the bank. We know that when we remain obedient to God, obedient to His Word, that God has made room for us. That's how you put it. He has made room for us. He's made a place for us. That's a promise, and we can look forward to that. Hallelujah. We can plan on it and know God has already planned it, but we know that God has done it. Amen. So we have that in our future. Glory be to God. God has said it, and it is so. We know we're going to a better place when we cross over. Glory be to God. And it is God's grace that is keeping us as we run this race down here. God's grace keeps us as we run the race. Amen. And we need that grace. Glory be to God. We gotta have that grace. And when we know that God is ordering our steps in His Word, we know that all is well because all is in His hands. Hallelujah. And you said, you quoted the scripture about nothing, no one, not anything will separate us from the love of God. Amen. Even when we were yet sinners, He still loved us. Amen. He had mercy on us, and the grace was poured out on us.
Amen.
Because the
Thank
Bible
you.
Says that that grace abides on a sinner. Where sin abides, grace abides. Amen. So we had that grace. That's a promise. That's a promise. Where sin abides, grace abides, because God said it. Glory be to God. So everything God said, we can count on it. We can count on everything that He said is absolutely true. His Word is the only absolute that I know. He's the only absolutely wonderful, truthful, great, mighty God. He's the only God. There are no other gods beside Him. Hallelujah. So you quoted quite a few of my favorite scriptures. Glory be to God. Thank God for this Word today and for us to be reminded the future is not in your hands. The future, our futures are in the hands of God. Amen. And all we got to do is keep our hands off sin. Keep our minds off sin. Keep our minds stayed on the Lord. Keep our hands off things that we shouldn't touch. Keep our feet running to Jesus. Don't go trampling somewhere where we're not supposed to trample. Hallelujah. So keep ourselves fixated on the Word of God. And all I kept hearing is He knows. He knows. He knows exactly what's going to happen in our future. And He knew it. He knew all about our past before we entered into this world. He knew all about our lives before we came into the world. God knows the end from the beginning. Amen. So we can trust God because God knows all. And that whole Word was all about trust and faith and following Jesus. And then you mentioned Job, and I'm done after this. Job's wife, how she cursed. She did what the enemy wanted him to do. God worked, the enemy worked on the weaker vessel. And it's quite interesting that God didn't allow, well, you would think that that's in order that God didn't allow him to keep that wife. Amen. She died. She died. She cursed. He called her a foolish woman because she said that he should curse his God and die. Well, she cursed herself when she did that. She put a curse on herself because of her mouth. And we have to watch our mouth.
Amen.
Watch and ask God, God, bridle my tongue. Like David said, God, bridle my tongue. Because we can curse ourselves with the words we say, and we can curse others with the words we say. So she was so distraught. And, you know, I thought, my God, I believe that God, I was thinking before I studied further, that God would have given her a pass because this woman lost all her children. She lost everything. They lost all the wealth and all that. But here's the thing. You touched his anointed. You opened up your mouth and you said you should curse God and die. Curse your God. So what she did, she angered God. Curse your God, she said. In other words, you're not confessing him as your God. She said, curse your God and die. Because that's what Satan wanted Job to do. But he couldn't get Job to do it. And Job, I mean, the devil couldn't get Job to do it. But you know what? The devil was confident when he had a talk with the Lord. And the Lord told him to go after his servant Job. Have you considered? Because he was like, I'm going back and forth. In other words, to and fro, looking for whom I can seek to devour, whom I can seek to lie to deceive. He said, I'm just going to and fro. He's always going to and fro. Always going to and fro with some evil. That's what he does. So God says, have you considered Job, my servant? And then God calls this man a righteous man. With all of Job's riches, he was still righteous, which shows us and means that we can still be rich and be righteous. Hallelujah. If we have given our life unto God and we become rich with money and rich with material things, that's not what the curse is. The curse is when we allow those things to become a god or become gods in our lives.
Amen.
But as long as we remember that we should not put no other gods before our God, then we will continue to be blessed whether we're rich or not. Hallelujah. So it's not
Amen.
A curse to be rich. It's a curse to be rich and not know the richness of God and not know that what God said is that no other gods should be put before him. And there's nobody like him. So when we know there's nobody like him, we know that we know that we know he is God and that he knows all and he's the only one who can do the impossible. He's the only one that can lead us and guide us in the path of righteousness. That devil only want to lead us to hell. That's where he want to lead us to damnation. So when he's going to and fro, that's what he's doing. He's looking for someone that he may devour. Okay, so what he did was he devoured the wife because she cursed. When she said you ought to curse your God and die, she spit out a curse toward our God. That's what she did, and she touched God's anointing. And you know what? God let her die among the cows. She died among the cows. And then she even went about. She stole her hair. She sold her hair trying to get bread when they didn't have anything. She didn't need to do that. She went and sold her head and gave her hair into the devil and did some devil worship. My God. But God took her out. God allowed her to go and gave Job another wife. He completely restored Job because she opened up her mouth to say a foolish thing, and he told her so. He told her, so now you done really messed up, woman. I kind of thought you didn't have it all together up there. But now I know for sure, because now you're telling me to curse my God and die. So you never did have it all together, but now I know that you're totally crazy. I mean, that's just me saying that. I imagine that's what he might have been thinking. But anyway, we got to keep our hands on righteousness, keep our hands on righteousness, doing what's right, The just shall live by faith. We live a righteous life, and we allow God to, we need God to lead us and guide us. Amen. Glory be to God. So we should not let our hearts be troubled. Thank you for that word. That was so beautiful. Don't let your heart be troubled, because God knows. God knows where you're going. God knows what you need. Glory be to God. He knows all of our needs. Amen. And he will supply all those needs. So why
Amen.
Should we worry?
Yes, Lord.
Almighty God got it all in his hands. Why should we be worried? Hallelujah. If we worry, that means that we need some work on our faith. You know, because from time to time, people begin to worry so much.
That's
so
right.
The next thing you know, we're not trusting God at all, because we worried. Amen. God's going to take care of all the needs. Glory be to God. So anyway, God gave Job another wife. Her name was Dinah, one of Jacob's daughters. And he
Amen.
Had 10 beautiful daughters with her. God took that woman out. You go in and sell your hair to the demons. And her name was a satanic name. All right? If anybody want to go
wow.
and look at it further. She had a satanic name. She was of Satan anyhow. And you know what? Sooner or later, God's going to take you out. If you're of Satan and you're secretly doing things that's not like God, and in your mind that you don't have God, you're not fixated in your mind about God. God already knows the mind. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. And God knew that she was wicked anyhow. Hallelujah. Knew that she was wicked anyhow. So God allowed all the children to go, everything. We know the story. Bible readers know the story. But look what God did to her. Look what God did to Lot's wife. Because you got your mind fixated on the wrong stuff. She had her mind fixated on everything she was leaving. And she didn't trust where she was going, because she never trusted God. She never trusted God in the first place, because if she had trusted God, she wouldn't have looked back. My God, she would have been looking to the King. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to keep my eyes fixated on God. I'm going to look to God for everything, and I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to look back. Hallelujah. And Bishop always says, don't look back. We got to repent. It means don't look back. When we're sinners, we just don't look back. We accept Jesus and keep moving forward. So thank you. Hallelujah. I just wanted to say a few things, and I enjoyed the word. I just heard every word you said. Glory be to God. And I took more notes, but I know you're busy. You got to get going. You got things to do. You got a lot on your plate, and we are praying for you to get some rest, because saints need rest. God wants us to rest. Amen. I'm resting all day. I was resting yesterday after the service. I didn't do any work. We honored the Sabbath. I didn't do any work at all. We didn't do any work in the house. No cooking, anything. My daughter brought us some food. But we got to honor God. The main thing is honor him with our obedience. Amen. Obedience is better than mm-hmm. any sacrifice. Glory be to God. So thank you, my daughter. The word was great. It was powerful. And it was preached with love and tenacity. Glory be to God and compassion. Hallelujah. And that's what I love. When you come and how you deliver it, it's so beautiful. It's absolutely so beautiful. Hallelujah. So thank you once again. We're so glad you could come today. And we ask God to watch over, you know, to bless you with all of those hopes that you have in your heart, that God has given you those hopes and desires, they shall come forth. All of the hopes, all of the desires that we have in our heart, that's of the will of God, God will do it. God will do it. Make no mistake about it. Okay? So thank you. We look forward to you coming back, and we will keep you and your family in prayer. Thank you. And thank you, Apostle Callender, for giving us all the opportunity to come and bless the Lord and bless the people for those who want to hear. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, my dear. Thank you, my daughter. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ma, for that word, that powerful word as well. You added to it, and I thank you for, excuse me, expounding on Job's wife, because it came to me last night, but I didn't get a chance to research it, and I didn't really understood. But thank you for speaking more on it. It just brought more light and more understanding to me. So I give God glory for you, and I thank God for your life and your family, and pray that God continues to cover you and cover your entire family. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for that prayer. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. So I know that you've got to get going, but please, even if you can get half hour, 15 minutes, whatever, get them low power naps in take some really, I hope you're taking really good vitamins. That helps too.
I got a few.
That's good. I figured you did. So praise God. Yeah. We're going to keep you lifted up, okay? God bless you.
Yeah, I'm here on the line. I don't have to go anywhere. I have to preach tomorrow, so I have to write my other sermon. I just couldn't get the time with the studying. You know, school is a lot, but I give God glory and I thank God. It's like every other week we have tests. So we just did a test this Monday, and then this Monday coming, it's just review, and then the next Monday it's test, and they just keep going. But I thank God.
That's great. Thank God you're going to have some time off for the Christmas, for the holidays.
We're going to have like a week off, but we're going right back into an exam, so it's like we're off with studying.
Oh, wow.
I tell you.
My daughter was just telling me, I was surprised. She was telling me that she won't go back to her college studies until mid-January, but she's going to be on vacation from the school where, she's a teacher, and then she's studying for her master's, and time has flown so fast because this spring she'll be graduating, and it looks like she just started in the master's program, but she was telling me, I said, thank you, God, because whenever she's got time off, any time it is that she gets off, that she does other things too. She's got another business going. But look, I always say, thank you, Lord, it's Friday. Thank you, Lord. You know, I've been so happy because she worked so hard. And the same way with you. Thank you, Lord, it's the weekend. Thank you, Lord, they got Christmas coming and they're going to have all this time off. But then she tells me she's got time off from college all the way until mid-January. I was like, wow, that's awesome. Glory to God. So that means she'll get more rest.
Yeah, regular colleges does time off, but because I'm in ministry school, it's different how they do it. And when the school used to be in person before the COVID hit, we would get different, like Veterans Day or different holidays off. But when they chose to do everything on Zoom, they don't give us any vacation off. The only time we had off was Thanksgiving. We had off Thanksgiving Day, but that Sunday, last Sunday, we had chapel, because every fourth Sunday we have chapel, so you have to be there. We're seniors, so we have to be a part of it. Otherwise, they could fail us if we don't show up. And then Monday we had class, so we are going to have off Christmas, but then I think the week after, we have 1 week off. And then the following week, we go right into, like, January 9th, I think it is, we go into an exam. So they don't give us the 3 weeks or a month that normal school has off. And I think they're trying to finish everything before May, because May, the end of May is graduation. So they're trying to get everything in and all the tests.
So you will be graduating in May.
In May, yes. This is my fourth year, last year.
Beautiful.
So I thank God.
Thank God for that. Hallelujah, Jesus.
So,
glory be to God. I'm excited for you, too, for when that time comes. And even now, thanking God that it's close. Glory be to God. And I love my daughter. She just looks at me and she smiles. I'd be like, I'm so glad to be home today. Because when she's home being a teacher, she's constantly making lesson plans. And all of that, she's in her bed with her desk in front of her and the computer.
And then
she has this other business that she does, and it takes a lot of research with this travel business. And so she's constantly working. So God gives her the strength to do that, you know, and I just be so happy when my girl can just be home. At least
I tell
you, home, you can relax in your bed. You can relax in your comfortable chair, you know, and relax and do some things. And sometimes what I like about this class that she's doing is that they do a lot of online. They don't go every week. It's only once a week that they go because she's doing online. And they go to the campus once a week. But sometimes the professor will say, look, y'all don't have to come. We're just going to do a Zoom. And that's so good. She's so happy when that happens. And I'm so happy, too. It's like it's happening to me. Yeah.
That's a good thing. Just to have it on Zoom is good. I think, last Sunday, so I minister every other Saturday on the line. And the other Saturdays is like the Saturday that I take Elijah to her dad, and I get to do a little self-aware rest a little bit more and do other things that I can't do. Because every day, even when I'm minister, I still have to get up and do. So I feel like sometimes I don't have no break. And last Sunday, I think I was almost in tears because the anniversary for the church just kept going. And then I had, I'm thinking it's Thanksgiving and I'm going to have a long weekend and then I have to show up. And I was like, God, I was literally in tears that I sat in the corner with my clothes because I came straight from church and had to go in. And I sat there, she was on Zoom, and I was there and I couldn't even open my eyes. And I always say, when it comes to my eyes, I need God to really help me because you guys know I had a cataract in my right eye, so I can only see out of my left eye. So when my eyes are swollen, when you're on the computer, and I work from home until they bring us back into the office for like 2 days, or 3 days, but I have to work on the computer, so I'm constantly in front of the computer. And when I have my eyes open for all these hours, it burns and it hurts, and sometimes I get a migraine. So last Sunday I was there with a migraine, and I still didn't fully study for my exam on Monday. So Monday I had to work. And I'm like, God, when am I going to get the time to study? And it's like, I really didn't have the time. The week is busy and going through everything. So I was like, I'm not going to go. But I felt guilty. I'm like, you know what? Lord, just help me. So I was like, let me log off of work exactly at 5. And I say, Lord, I'm just going to do a deep study from 5 to 7 before I go in because it's for 3 hours. And I did. And I said, Lord, I will try my best. I prefer to try than not to do it at all. And I'm like, Lord, because I'm not taking this class over. So please help me. And it was a lot. Like when 10 o'clock came that night, like I literally wanted to put my hand in my head and just like bawl, not even cry, like just bawl because of the pain that I was feeling. And I say to God, just please touch my eyes. Please help me because you've only given me one. So help me to maintain this one because the other one, it's no good unless the Lord, by his grace, will do a miracle and I will be able to see again 100%. Right now, for 41 years, it's only been one eye. And I have 20/20 vision. According to the doctor, you have 20/20 vision in that eye. But I'm like, I even want to go back to my doctor and tell him, like, I need glasses. Every time I go and I tell him I need glasses, he's like, oh, no, you have 20/20 vision. And I'm like, no, there's something going on with my eyes because there's days I cannot see my computer. It's blurry. So if it's near vision, I need glasses to help me. Even though I have 20/20, I need the help because my eyes, this is the only eye and it's a lot of strain on it.
Yeah.
So
you're using that one eye.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I need glasses. So I'm going to try to get an appointment in with him so he could give me, even if it's the lightest stuff, I need your help. So help me. And I'm just praying to God. So there's times I really can't do it. Like my brain is completely tight and I can't even think. So I'm like, I just cover my head in the dark and make the lights dim and just try to let them suit on its own.
Yeah, sometimes I have to do that.
Ba ba iki da ikan dan dan digi da middles.
What is that, Apostle?
What are you saying?
Oh, I forgot. I'm not realizing I'm still on. Open.
Oh, wow.
I was singing to the dog. I was singing to the dog.
I'm like, what is he doing? Is he learning a
apostle. You're sorry.
All right, apostle. All right, apostle. But what I was going to say is that sometimes I see double. I've got those cataracts on both, and I have to get cataract surgery. And then I had the molecular degeneration in the left eye, but I've been getting those injections because I totally went blind in that eye. But now the sight has been restored, but sometimes I have to do like you. I have to dim the light because the light begins to hurt my eyes. I have to dim the light, and I begin to see double, and then it'll just go away. But that's from reading a lot and studying a lot. That'll happen, and your eyes get tired. My eyes just get tired. But I consider online classes, but I say, Lord, I got a lot on my plate, Lord. I got a lot on my plate, and I do a lot of studying here at home. And I just got a lot on my plate right now. So hopefully one day I can do some online classes, because I love to study. But but in the meantime, I'm satisfied about where I am right now, and I just pray for y'all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even
my Bible that I had, I'm like, I need to make it to the Bible store. I'll try to see if I could go this Sunday in Brockton, because I need to go find a Bible that has huge letters, because my old Bible that I have it as marked up with all the colors, but the prints are so small. Or maybe I could get the glasses and I don't need to buy it. But I'm like, I need to get one that has bigger words so at nighttime I could read. I'm here in my bed. I have the lights on. I have the flashlight. And I'm like, this man's like 2023. He said, Lord, I need your help because I can't read it. So I'll try to go on my phone and push it up. But then the light from the phone hurts my eyes. And I'm like, oh, this is a lot. So I'm like, Lord, I know you're going to work it out and you're going to help me and stuff. So I'm going to take the time and try to go find the Bible that has like the bigger prints, you know, those big prints.
Amen.
I'm like, the bigger it is, the better.
Yeah. Bishop needs those big letters. He's got he has a Bible that's got large print, but it's not large enough. And so he's just been using his tablet to go into the Word on the tablet where you can zoom it up, you know.
Zoom it up, that's what I do.
He would rather read it from his Bible. He would rather do that. And I like turning the pages.
It's better. The pages and highlighted. Like my Bible is colorful.
mine is too. I got colors all over the place. Hallelujah. But anyway, praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you again. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time today. And we have been well fed. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So God bless
you. The line is open. God bless you too, Ma.
You're welcome.
The line is open for anyone else that would like to share if you have a testimony or whatever God is placing on your heart. Amen.
Bishop, get ready to close, Bishop. It's quiet out there, Ms. Sandera.
Amen. I agree.
So quiet you could hear a pin drop.
On a carpet.
Yep. Except for Apostle with his new language.
I know, and this dog, this singing, Apostle, I liked it. It was good. I could see he had a smile in his face as he was singing it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Apostle.
That was some powerful, powerful new language, Apostle, I tell you. I didn't understand it, but I guess the dog did, you know. This is Apostle Stewart. God bless you, Minister Andura and Apostle and Bishop and Apostle, all that's on the line. I just give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Listening at the word, a very, very good word. And I know a lot of people was fed who was listening at it because you hit on so many different things. But I just came in, basically, I heard you all talking about the eyes. And a lot of times when I hear a subject that's to do with your eyes, it really catches my attention because when I'm hearing people speak about their eyes, I'm seeing myself in, going through all of those different times before becoming completely blind. It's as though I've traveled all of those different ways that I'm hearing. But one thing, Minister Andura, as what Apostle Washington had said, you have to get that rest. And she talked about the power rest and thing. But here's the thing. Your eyes have to get rest. See, not only your body, the rest of your body, but your eyes have to get rest. Because what you're doing is that by you having that one good eye, 20/20 vision, and then you have that other eye, is pulling from the one that's got 20/20 vision. But not only is it pulling from that eye that have the 20/20 vision, being on that computer a lot, you're punishing your good eye. You're punishing it through looking at the computer and thing. And that's why, you know, a lot of times, you know, when your eyes get blurry like that, that eye then just took all that it could take, so it started to getting blurry. And sometimes it'll start running. And then, you know, you get the headaches and the different things. Well,
that's
I went
right.
through that for a long time. But and so what's happening is some kind of way you're going to have to, you know, back off that computer. Now, I know you're doing a lot of things, a lot of studying for school, a lot of studying for this, a lot of studying for that, a lot of studying for just studying in general, you know, to get as much word as that you can on the inside of you. But you're punishing that good eye, and it's dangerous because that's all the sight you say you have is in that one eye. And so you're punishing it, and the weak eye is pulling from your strong eye. And so the doctor told you didn't need glasses. The very purpose of that is that if you get the glasses going to also pull from the good eye. You know, and this is why people get glasses. You know, every year you see people changing glasses every 2 years or something like that. They're changing because the eyes, as they wear the glasses, the eyes get weaker because whenever you get glasses, it pulls from the strength of your eye. Especially reading glasses. Now, when I say reading glasses, these little glasses you get at Walmart or these different places like that, that's nothing but a magnifying glass. That's all that is. And what it's doing, it's really punishing that good eye. It's really putting a lot of pressure on that good eye. So you're going to have to find some time to rest. Not only that, never miss putting your drops in your eyes. Never miss that, because whatever sight you have, through you putting the drops in your eyes, that'll help you keep the sight that you do have. But when you start missing putting your drops in, you know, even that good eye will start degenerating. You know, you know, and that's not going to happen. We don't want to speak that because that's
Amen.
All. I remember going through getting big print Bibles. You know, I mean, I used to could see it in the Bible, the dot of the I and the cross of the T. I mean, I could see the Bible that good without any glasses or anything on, just to let you know that my eyes were 20/20 at one time, too. But through punishing them, you know, over-studying and you know, and different things like that, and the television, and I could go on and on with the thing, and that computer, you know, it will pull from your eye as well. That's why you find yourself with a flashlight and all that. You got the lights on plus a flashlight. You know what I'm saying? And some of the best light you could get is the sunlight. You know, and sometimes, you know, you just, you know, open the blinds. I don't know if you have blinds like on at your home apartment or, you know, a home. When you open the blinds, you know, that sunlight coming in, that's one of the brighter lights. And you'll be able to see. That's why when you go outside and you open your Bible in the sunlight, you could see things that you couldn't see inside. But it had came a time when you start realizing that it's really, really failing you, because a lot of times your sight be failing you, and it sneaks up on you. It sneaks up on you, and before you know it, man, it then got so bad. Yeah. This eye is really bad, you know, because now I see that I can't drive at night. I got to drive in the daytime. if you try to drive at night, you almost got to drive on the line to, you know what I'm saying, to try to stay straight and that type of thing. So when you start going from one Bible to another Bible, meaning that the print is too small, it had got to the point where I had to go to one Bible, three Bibles to make up one Bible. For instance, one of the Bibles I had went from like Genesis, and it was like about 18 chapters, or 18 books, let me say 18 books rather, in one of the Bibles. That's how big the print was. Then I had a second Bible for that other, you know, the 39 books in the Old Testament. So when you kind of halfing them up, like, you know what I'm saying? So to give you an idea of, you know, how many books was in the first Bible and how many books was in the second Bible. Now, you're talking about the same King James Version, word for word, but it's two Bibles that made up the Old Testament because of the print being so large. I mean, I know you'd love to have one like that, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, when you can't see good, because you really could see that print real good. That's, I mean, super giant, you know, super, super, super duper giant print. That's why it was three Bibles. And then the third one was the whole New Testament. The third one was the whole New Testament in super, super, super giant print, like what I'm talking about. So I used to walk around with three Bibles. Now it was that one Bible, but you know, it was three Bibles to make up the one because of the print being so big. And then my eyes got worse than that. Then I had to take and, you know, do the sermons and go to not Home Depot, but the other what that's called, when you go get prints and thing at this place where you get cards printed up, you get things run off, you get Office Depot. I used to have to go to Office Depot and get things run off on a big old, I mean, it got to the point where I had got to almost, it's like a, you know, when you're in an art class, you get this big old piece of cardboard, and if you're
like
dealing
an easel,
with watercolors, say that again.
Like an easel.
You're talking about the thing you put the, you're talking about the thing you put the, like your lesson on.
It's a canvas. You're talking about a canvas. Yeah, like a canvas easel. Yeah.
Yeah, like a poster board. I had to go and have things printed out almost on a poster board or something, a paper that was that large, so that the print could be just that big. You know, because when I left from that book, there was three books, I went to a marker that I had to actually write things out with, this thick marker, you know, to be able to do my sermons and the minister and different things. So to show you where I went from one step to another step to another step. But what happened was I was always punishing my eyes, you know, always straining them, trying to do this and kept straining them eyes, straining the eyes, straining the eyes until eventually, you know, just went blind and then wasn't using the drops like I should have. You know, and that's why I tell different ones, use your drops. Don't miss that, you know, because you'll find yourself being so busy and you got to use them four times a day. You'll be using them one time a day. And stuff like that, two times a day, you find yourself using them one time a day, then one time a day, and then missing that day completely, and every other day. You know, just not doing what the doctor said, you know, because he's looking in your eyes out of instruments, and he's the professional, and he's looking out of your eyes through these different professional instruments, and you got instruments now that they didn't have when I was coming up. You know, and having my eyes done, the instruments they got now is much, much more sophisticated. So I said that to say this. When they go into your eyes and they can see many, many years ahead of you. I was told when I was 11 or 12 years old that when I get to be 50 years old, that I would be blind. I didn't know nothing about God, you know, at that age and thing, you know. And because my mother wasn't in church and different things like that, I wasn't taught the Bible, I wasn't going to church when I was all through my teenage years and was small and stuff, didn't know nothing about God. So, you know, and so they had looked through an instrument at Charity Hospital here in New Orleans, and they had a fleet of doctors. I mean, a whole lot of them was coming looking in my eyes because they'd be studying. These students are studying, and the other doctors are teaching the students. And they, you know, looking into your eyes, and your eyes be hurting so bad because all of them want to take the light and see what the teacher is talking about. And so they were using me, in a sense, to experiment, everyone looking in the eyes. And I remember one of those students saying, wow, he said, he's going to be blind at 50 years old. And I'm saying, why is he saying that? You know, and I was like 12. But, of course, when it started getting around those years, I mean, my sight was really, really gone. Well, it didn't happen right at 50, but just a little bit beyond 50. You know, a little bit beyond that, I went blind. So, you know, these instruments, they could see way ahead of time. So when you go to those doctors and you got these better instruments now, you know, more updated instruments, they look in your eye, they can tell. They see just what's going on in your eye. They can see what's going on behind your eye. And all of that. I mean, they can look at your retina and all kind, and that retina is behind your eye. You can go to one specialist, and he can see the front of your eye, the side of your eyes, but because he's not a retina specialist, a lot of times he don't have the machine that the retina specialists have, so he can't really see behind your eye. But the retina specialist, he goes all behind your eye. You can tell if it's detached or if it's not detached, if it's swelling and all this kind of stuff. And so when they tell you to take those drops, they know what they're talking about. They are well advanced, you know, and take care of your eyes. You only have that one set. God is a healer, but then, you know, he can miraculously heal you, but he also put the doctors here, and they got a certain medicine that will clear your eyes up. Now, here's what I found out about healing, and thank God heals who you want to heal. He also tells some that my grace is sufficient for you, like he told Paul. But my son Sherrod had a sore on his leg, between his ankles and his knee, somewhere in the middle there, you know, that shin, I think it's called. The shin, it is called a shin. But it was a nasty sore. And at that time, I didn't believe in medicine. I mean, I actually come from apostolic churches and things that didn't believe in taking nothing for a toothache. They didn't believe in putting nothing in your hair to fix your hair. They had got to the point where they wasn't brushing teeth or nothing. Cause they said, God wanted you to have this and wanted you. I mean, it was just that ignorant. And me being young at that time, I mean, I didn't know no better, you know. And so I wouldn't use medicine and things, you know. And I was supposed to put the medicine in my eyes and thing enough. So I said, no, I'm believing in God for my healing. Now, I know God is a miracle worker, but God don't want us to be ignorant about things either. And so what happens is my son happened to get this sore on his leg, on his shin, and it kept getting worse and worse, and I would pray for it. Wasn't putting no medicine on it because I didn't believe in medicine. I didn't believe in medicine at all at one time. And so what happens is the sore on his leg was getting worse, and it had started turning blue, purple, I mean, or green. I mean, it just looked so bad. And I remember praying, and I said, Lord, if this was my leg, I said, I'd just go on with it like this because, you know, I just trust and believe that you're a healer. But, Lord, this is my son, and I'm looking at it getting worse. Lord, I want to believe. But it's getting worse. And then I broke, and I said, I got to go bring him to the doctor because my son's leg is looking so nasty. I got to bring him to the doctor, Lord. I said, forgive me. Brought him to the doctor. The doctor gave him a shot and did a little something to clean the wound.
and gave him something called Neosporum or something like that. That's all it was. And put that on his, that soul, and I tell you no lie, in 3 days, it don't even look like it was ever there. In 3 days, that thing went away, and it didn't look like God did a work on it along with the medicine, because he, you know, I guess he was showing me something at that time. But in 3 days, that soul was completely gone. I mean, you didn't even see where it was at. And I'm talking about a nasty soul. If you would have saw it, you would have known that it had to be a miracle in order for it to disappear that fast. In 3 days, it was gone. Couldn't even see where it was ever at. And so, you know, I began to realize then and there that, wait a minute, you know, doctors have been created by God. And the things that they use to heal, God knew about these things before the foundation of the world. And he allowed them to, you know, to study and, you know, and come up with, you know, these things being used to heal, you know, people. But it's really God that's doing it and give them the wisdom and thing. And so I found out from that time, you know, that, you know, that, you know, really was supposed to be using that medicine. And my daddy used to tell me, son, use your medicine. Use that medicine. And I didn't even listen to my daddy. And he's always a man that was full of wisdom. But so I say to you, you know, you're going to have to slow down with that one eye. Can I ask you a question, Minister Andura? What's with your other eye? What happened there? Mr. Andura, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was my daughter was asking me a question. I'm so sorry.
What happened to your other eye? The bad eye.
So I was the bad eye. I was born with a cataract in my eye since I was a child. And when I being in my country, they never really attend to it. So the cataracts has been there all the time. And what happened, it became so dense that when I think it was 3 years ago, when I went to remove it, it was so dense that the doctor said, you know, it's very deep down. And, you know, even though I could see, like, if I closed my left eye, I could see, like, slightly, like, the shadows of the room, the light. But, and it's up close, I could see, like, fingers and hands. But I can't read at all out of the eye.
Right.
So that's what happened.
Did you ever have an operation?
So it's been like that for 41 years. And, you know, maybe if they had attended to it when I was a child, I would have been able to see out of the eye.
You did get operated on once, though, huh?
Yes, it did. Yeah, 3 years ago, they operated on it and removed the cataract. But the doctor said the cataract was so dense that the sight is completely, the sight is not completely gone, but even he put a lens inside of it, even with the lens that he put in it, the strongest strength that they have, I'm still not able to read. But what removing the cataract, what it did, it was stop the migraines that I was getting. So it stopped it for the most part.
Yeah, they put that little plastic.
But when I put too much strain on my good eye, it creates I get the tension, headache, and the migraines again.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to do exactly what you're saying is to rest my eyes. And sometimes just hard because I have to work on the computer, but I just have to create time where even if I step away and, you know, close off the lights and just
rest
for
5
minutes.
You're going to have to take that time to rest it because at least you have some sight. Now, out of your bad eye, listen,
mm-hmm.
I wish I had that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your bad eye, I wish I had that, you know. Now, when I say wish I had that, I'm just saying that I could be able to, you know, you say put your hand up in front of your face. You could see your hand move across your face if you close your good eye. Could you count fingers? Close up?
I could, close up, I could see the fingers. I could, but it's like really close. You know, I could see the fingers, I could see the shape, I could see the color. And I could
see the shape
see...
and all, and you're still able to tell what color, you know, that's a big plus.
But
a lot of people don't realize that, but that's a big plus to be able to still see the colors. And then whenever you look toward the window, you know, you know whether it's daytime or nighttime, even if you got your lights
correct.
Out. Because
mm-hmm.
when you look toward the window, you can see the glow of the sun. You
yes.
know that, you know, that it's daytime. You know, you're able to. So, yeah,
yeah
it, you get a lot of information, even from your bad eye. You can still get a lot of information. So,
correct.
You know, that's, you
but
know.
But I can't depend on this bad eye to move around. Like, if I had it closed, I wouldn't have the confidence to just walk into a room that I could see and feel my way through.
Oh, no, no. You don't want to hurt yourself. You could stumble over something because you can't see nothing. You wouldn't be able to see nothing that's at your feet, you know, because of your peripheral vision and stuff. I understand
correct.
That you wouldn't be able to see nothing like that. You could easily walk into a post or even walk into the side of the wall. If you turn to that side,
correct.
You don't see that wall right away, and you could slam into it. It's called how fast you're moving. So you really, even with a good eye, you got to take it, even with that 20/20 vision, you got to watch how you turn. Because you don't have nothing on that side over there, you know, where you could really see to keep from hurting yourself or even running into somebody that's standing way to that side that you can't see, you know. So, yeah, I've been there. I understand exactly the conversation. I know what you're talking about. But please take some time to rest that good eye because I know people have a demand on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And thing like that, but if you lose that eye, you know you won't have nothing. So,
correct.
If you understand what I'm saying, so you know you're going to have to, you know you're going to have to turn down some things, you know, and rest that eye, like
mm-hmm.
Pastor Washington said, you got to rest, you know. But anyway, I wasn't coming in. I just was going to listen, but I said I need to, you know, just come in and say those few things. You know what I'm saying? Because you're really, really punishing that good eye. You're punishing that good eye. And so, you know, back off some of those things and rest that eye. Sometimes you got to just sit back and keep it closed. You know, you got to rest it.
Yeah.
You know, and keep, you know, your medicine in so you could keep it healthy and keep it strong. You know, you put too much of computer, too much TV, computer,
mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff, getting stuff out of the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Even reading, you know, too much, you know, not too much. I mean, you know, you can't just punish it like that because every time you know, because it's different things. It's not just the computer. It's not just the television. It's not just the reading. You know, it's a lot of things that's punishing that eye. So you got to take care of it because that's all you got. I was hard-headed, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I still ran because I just figured if I didn't get something done, it wasn't going to get done. Wasn't nobody. But now somebody else got to do certain things now because I can't do them now. So, you know, because that's the way, you know, it'll be like, you know, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I have to do that. Everything is I got to do it. I have to. And that's the way it is. But then when you can't do it no more, then you realize, wait a minute. Now somebody else got to do it. See?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, rest. Get you some rest. All right. That's basically
thank
what I
you.
Wanted to say. In Jesus' name. Good day.
Amen. Good day. Thank you, Apostle, for the advice and the encouragement. And I will do that. Both apostles, thank you guys. I will do that because I need my eyes. God knows. The line is open still if anyone want to add or share a testimony. If not, Bishop, the closing is in your hands.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, Bishop Apostle, for coming in and expounding on that. You know, and I know exactly what he's saying because, you know, my wife had the cataract surgery, and she get laxadaisies for putting the drops. And the drops
mm-hmm.
are going from mediocre price to $300 for the drops that she put in her eyes now, and she can't miss a day. She can't miss a day. And she got to put them drops in some, I think it's three times a day, morning, afternoon, and night. If she missed that thing, she could lose her sight. The doctor told her straight up. If you miss putting them drops, you will find that you'll get harder and harder to see, and eventually you will lose your sight. So she makes sure, and if they come in a big box, she's got a whole big box.
Pray for Bishop. Yeah. Pray for Bishop. Pray for Bishop. Right now. Right now.
Father, we thank you and praise you. We call, we lift up Bishop right now. We lift him up right now. Father, we come against the death angel right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare and decree, God, that Bishop shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. Father, you are Jehovah Jireh El Shaddai. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. Lord, whatever is happening there in his house right now with his life, God, we declare life right now, God. Not death, because you are the God that giveth life. You said you are the one that give life. You said if you drink of the water you give us, we will never get thirsty. If we eat of that bread, we will never go hunger. Father, we declare life right now. Life you gave us from the cross, from Calvary. Calvary declare life. It was death for you, but life for us. And Father, we claim that life right now at the cross for Bishop. Oh, brother, your son right now, God, it seems like he is going under, but he's coming over. Lord, we thank you right now. We praise you and we glorify your name right now, Father God. Do for him what only you can do, God. God, we ask you to rise now, arise, and let the enemy be scattered. Oh, God, what the enemy is trying to do, oh, God, you turn it around for your good, for his good, and for your glory right now. Father, we speak life in the atmosphere. We speak to the atmosphere, the very air that he is breathing right now, as his wife is working on him and trying to make sure that he stay above the ground. Father, we pray right now, God, that you keep him above the ground, because there's nothing that she can do that you can't do. Oh God, you are the instructor. You are the principal of whatever is happening right now. God, we ask you, oh God, to hold back the hand of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare it right now. We speak to the archangels. We speak to the heavenly hosts. Oh God, you said you give the angels charge over us. We ask them to take charge right now. Oh God, and beat back the death angel in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare it right now. Bless your name, Father. We bless your name. We praise your name. We plead the blood of Jesus over Bishop right now. We plead the blood of Jesus over him right now in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have your way. Have your way now, Jesus. It's you, Lord. We're calling on you. We're depending on you. We're relying on you to have your way. Have your way, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, Lord. We thank you right now. We praise you right now. We glorify you. Come back here. Come here. Bishop, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. We call you back. Come on back here, Bishop. Come on here. Stay with me, my brother. Stay with me. Stay with me, my brother. I need you here with me.
Strength to that heart right now.
speak the life right now. Life, I speak life in the name of Jesus. And it is so. It is so.
In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. It is so in Jesus' name. It is so in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus'
name. Thank you for your blood.
It is so in Jesus' name. It's still saying you're a liar. You're a liar, Satan. You're not going to take my brother. You're not going to take my brother. Hallelujah. You're not going to take my brother, Satan. You're a liar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ishababosi tata. Irababosi katata. Rubabababasi katata. Rabababababasi katata. Bukurababu. Bantika rabo ishatata. Bukuteba. Lebababasi katarabu. Lebababosi katata. Bukutada. Rubabababosi katata. Dekisatabu ikatata. Bukuraba. You know what the Lord spoke to my spirit there? The Lord spoke to me. The Lord said that in my spirit, I heard in my spirit, the Lord said Satan wanted to take Bishop out. Because even the Bishop, his sight is messing with him. And he's trying to remember all the scriptures from his heart. To do the prayer of salvation, he is still a threat to Satan. He is still a threat to Satan. Hallelujah. And the devil would like to take him out to hinder him, to stop him completely from doing the prayer of salvation. And I know, because I saw him, I know how he was having trouble with his eyes, and so his eyes was getting weak. But glory to God, he's still doing the prayer of salvation. And the devil is mad.
Amen.
He is mad. He's doing everything that he can. And he would try more and more to do what he can to try to stop Bishop. But I tell God, I tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, for keeping my brother in this in the land of the living. I tell my Lord, I said, Lord, I thank you for keeping my brother in the land of the living. I was praying for Bishop on last night. I tell you, I was interceding last night for him last night like never before. Glory to God, because I'm seeing some stuff. I told my wife this morning, I said, there's a fresh anointing that's on my life. She said, what are you talking about? I said, honey, there's a fresh anointing on my life. I've never had a dreams like I had last night. I was dreaming about all these different people that I was going to all these dear places. And God was having me pray for people that were sick. And people were coming looking for me because the anointing of healing was on my life. In the dream.
My God.
And I told her all of these Asian people and Latina people was coming from everywhere. And they was coming saying they wanted to. And I kept saying it was not me. I kept telling them it's not me. I can't heal nobody. And they said, yes, man. We hear you healing people. I said, no, it's not me. It is Jesus. And I've never, in all this 73 years of life, I've never had a dream about me healing nobody. I've never had no dreams like that. And there was many people. And I started praying for people. Up to this morning, I wake up praying for healing for people. This morning, I wake up with praying in my lips.
My God,
I just thanking God. I just thanking God. I praising God for you, Bishop. Because I told the Lord, God. I said, Lord, keep my Bishop, keep my brother alive. Because I don't want to come to Louisiana to no funeral. I would not come over there. I come in just to visit, eat some seafood, and have a good time. Glory to God. I ain't coming to no funeral. I told God, keep my people, keep my brothers and my sisters alive in the land of living. Now, every time I fly over there, I coming over there. We going to go places and look at places and see things. And you're going to tell me stuff that I never seen over there before. Glory to God. And I get excited. But, you know, I ain't coming to go to no graveyard. My God, I'm coming to have life with my brothers and sisters. I told God that the other day. I said, no. Glory to God. Because we got to speak this thing. We in a time that God's saying, you, oh, God, I hear you, Lord, Holy Spirit. We living in a time that we got to open our mouth and sound the trumpet of life. Hallelujah. We got to open our mouth and blow that trumpet of life. Hallelujah. This is the time that we're in because Satan is trying everything and doing everything that he can come, make people become doubtful. I told you this morning that how Christians are getting on Facebook, and they show up with this Jewish stuff and this stuff with the Jews, and they can't even live together as black people, but they want to be Jews. They want to be Germans. They want to be French. All this kind of foolishness, and they're fighting against the Bible. They got some Christian on Bibles. They say, well, they now have to come awake. That the Bible belongs to God. That is Satan's the one who write the Bible. I mean, foolish stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because Satan is putting so much junk in their heads. And they're getting on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff and Instagram and talking all this foolishness and link away or link or what you call it. I've seen all of this stupid stuff because they want to say, you know, that the word of God that we've been falling for centuries is not the word of God. But I tell the devil, you're a liar because I believe what the Bible says. God said it. I believe it. That said it. So Satan, you can go wherever you want to go, but I know you're not coming here. You can go wherever you want to go because my thoughts is already made up. My mind is made up. Glory to God. I'm not going back. I'm following the light that has been shining on me and spotting on me. The light has been shining on me, and I no longer walk in darkness. So if somebody wants to run away and say they don't believe in the 66 books, that's their business. That's their prerogative. But I know that this is God's word because when I speak it, something happened inside my body when I speak the God word. When I speak it, something happened in my body. I don't care what nobody say. I know what it is. Thank God. I'm done. Glory to God.
Praise God. This is the fourth time it happened. But every time we pray, the Lord, hallelujah. The Lord always brings us back. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Apostle. Thank you all for praying and agreeing.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. It's so beautiful to see what God does. He does. He does the impossible. Only God.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
Well, his pressure is okay. His pressure is all right now, but it probably just went down too much. But nevertheless, God brought it right where it needs to be right now. It's perfect right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Be the glory.
He's got some tests coming up, but God.
Amen.
He's got to take
his God be the glory.
But to God be the glory. All is well. All is well. All is well. Hallelujah. All we got to do is
God be the glory.
Righteous and very much. And Pastor,
thank you, Jesus.
So beautiful because God will take you places in the spirit and have you laying hands on people. He will have you laying hands and just take you flying out and laying hands on people. He's done it with me. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Man has sores all over his body, and the Lord had me lay hands in the spirit, and that man's body just cleared up. All the sores just cleared up. It's these things that God does with us in the spirit. Hallelujah. We are spiritual people, and God is a spirit. Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and God will take us places. My God in the spirit. And when you tell some people, they'll be like, you crazy. I was talking about that yesterday, but no, God not crazy. God is not crazy, and we're not crazy. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God does this with us. And we thank God for that. I'm so grateful for it.
Thank God.
Thank you for sharing that, Apostle. Thank you for sharing that on the line. Hallelujah. And God is causing a refreshing like never before among his people. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
We're about to experience the greatest revival we've ever seen. God's church in this.
But if you know, let me say, I know Apostle getting ready to say something, but let me say something real quick, Pastor. Apostle getting ready to say something. Let me say something. There's a lot of politicians, big name politicians, that are getting ready to get arrested, okay? Getting ready to get arrested because God is exposing the sin that's in this country because the people of God is praying, okay? The people of God are praying. God has a strong nugget in this country, and they're now beginning to do what they're called to do. They have been called to pray for the longest time, but now that the belt is getting tight around their waist, they're beginning to really pray and seek God. Not seeking his hand, seeking his face. And you're going to watch and see a lot of things going to happen. So as it was saying in the sermon today, tomorrow's not promised. God wants us to pray today. Don't wait till tomorrow to pray. Pray today. Pray today. Because when you pray today, you might save somebody's life. You might turn this country around. And this is what's happening. Glory to God. All right, Apostle, I hear your voice. Come on in.
I was just about to, I thank God for how that is.